So a few years ago, a friend of mine called me up late at night, and she said, she's an environmental activist, works on toxics issues. And she called me up and she said, I can't take it anymore. This work's just killing me. It's breaking my heart. I said, yeah, it'll do that. She said, dominant culture hates everything, doesn't it? I said, yeah, it does, even itself. She said, it has a death urge, doesn't it? I said, yeah, it does. She said, unless it's stopped, it's going to kill everything on the planet, isn't it? I said, yeah, it is, unless it's stopped. Then she said, we're not going to make some great new glorious tomorrow, are we? I thought a moment, and then I said the thing I knew all along was the best thing I could say, which is, I've been waiting for you to say that. And the reason I knew that was the best thing I could say is because about 12 years ago now, I was undergoing a similar collapse where I was just bursting into tears several times a week over the death of the salmon, kootenai, sturgeon, Selkirk caribou, bull trout. And a lot of my environmentalist friends said, Derek, just take some time off. The problems will still be there when you come back. And I knew I couldn't do that. I knew if you're not going to cry about the death of the salmon, what are you going to cry about? What if you're not going to cry about global warming, what do tears mean? And I knew I had to just keep pushing through. And one day, I called up this friend of mine, Jeanette Armstrong. She's an Okanagan Indian writer and activist. I was crying, and I said to her, this work's killing me. It's breaking my heart. She said, yeah, it'll do that. I said, dominant culture hates everything, doesn't it? I said, yeah, it does, even itself. I said, it has death urge, doesn't it? She said, yeah, it does. I said, unless it stops, it's going to kill everything on the planet, isn't it? She said, yeah, it is, unless it stopped. I said, we're not going to make some great new glorious tomorrow, are we? And she said the best thing she could possibly say, which is, I've been waiting for you to say that. And the reason that was the best thing she could possibly say is because it normalized my despair and let me know that despair is an appropriate response to a desperate situation. It let me know that sorrow is just sorrow and pain's just pain. And it's not so much my sorrow or even pain that hurts as it is my resistance to it. It let me know that I could feel all of those things and it wouldn't kill me. And there's this idea that if you really acknowledge how bad things are, you have to go around being miserable all the time. But the truth is, I'm a complex enough being that I can hold in my heart the understanding that we are really, really fucked. And that life is really, really good. And that we are so fucked. And that life is so good. You know, some people have said to me, so if things are so bad, why don't you just kill yourself? And I always respond, because I'm having a good time. There's this great Irish proverb, is this a private fight or can anybody join? And I love that. And another one I get is, if things are so bad, why don't you just party? And the answer is, I don't really like parties. And I realize that that question, if things are so bad, why don't you just party? I realize that question reveals nothing more nor less than an incapacity to love. Because if you're in love, you act to defend your beloved. That's what you do. Oh, yeah. This person wrote to me a couple years ago, and she wanted to know how my anger at the dominant culture affects my sex life. And I was so tempted to write back, that is a question to which you will never know the answer. I realized that her question is based on the idea that anger is a shotgun, that if you're angry, you're angry. But the truth is, I'm really angry at the things that make me angry, and I'm not angry at the things that don't make me angry. My anger at Weyerhaeuser or at Charles Hurwitz doesn't spill over onto my friends. So we can feel all those things. And there's an even better thing about feeling all those things and realizing that it won't kill you, which is you can feel all those things and you realize it does kill you. And there's a wonderful thing about being dead, which is once you're dead, they can't touch you anymore. You can still sing and you can still dance and you can still make love and you can still fight like hell, but they can't touch you. Not with threats, not with promises, not with anything.